This is where normal comes to die. Mediocrity meets its final demise, and the status quo is unabashedly dismantled. Welcome to Reinvention Radio. Now, here's your host, Steve Ulscher.
All righty, welcome to another edition here of Reinvention Radio. Joined by the lovely Mary Goulet.
Hello.
Richie O'Jay. What's your name, Rich? Got YY holding it down in this studio. And I can't even say that Kelly Poker is holding it down back home because Kelly Poker is actually here. Yay! Go team! Hi, Kelly Poker.
I know, it's cool.
How are you?
I am fabulous. Although what I'd brings like to you? See some sun.
Yeah, well, you know, you brought calmer and cooler weather with this, which is a welcome reprieve from the hot that we've been experiencing here in San Diego. This is awesome.
I say I get another feather in my badass hat for bringing the coolest day ever to.
And you brought your badass button as well, which is awesome. You got to hit that. Hit that at least four. That's the badass button. What does it say this time? Let's see.
You can do it.
That's the lamest one.
I feel more inspired by the moment there. I feel like I actually, because I had a question in my mind. I was like, can I actually do it? And now I know it's affirmed that I can do it. It's like Waterboy. You ever seen them? My boys are obsessed with the Waterboy at this point, and that's like, you can do it. That's
a good movie.
The Rob Schneider dude. All right, so Kelly, we got a lot of ground to cover here, and for those who are joining us for the first time listening to Reinvention Radio, welcome. We love having you here, and for those who have been rating and reviewing and subscribing to the podcast edition of the show, thank you so much for that. And I got to tell you, we wouldn't be where we are without you, Kelly. I mean, look, you are a producer extraordinaire, producer extraordinaire of the show. My assistant extraordinaire, as you say, you're my badass assistant. You also have been working. How long have you been working with Mary Goulet now?
For 13, 14 years?
Maybe since 2003.
Yeah, wow.
13 years.
And you, just so folks are clear, how would you describe exactly who you are and what you do from a work perspective? And then we'll go backwards in terms of how you ended up to being where you are today. But like, how would you describe it? When people say, hey, Kelly, what do you do? What do you tell them? Because you do so many things amazingly well.
What's the elevator pitch?
Yeah.
You know what? Right, it's changed so many times over the years. And it's kind of like my whole thing, and especially like with my tagline and stuff like that, where you're a business partner and not just a virtual assistant. But, you know, it's hard to pinpoint because there's so many things that I do for different people and different industries, and other than, you know, I do all the stuff that you shouldn't do in your business.
Mm-hmm. But we're making the assumption that people know like exactly what that is. So you're a virtual assistant. Thank you.
And virtual assistants partner with clients to take care of all their admin work, support, a lot of technical, everything under the sun. Yeah, I mean, there's some that specialize in doing like the web graphics and things like that. You know, there's some controversy over what's included in a virtual assistant and what isn't. Because back in the day, you know, when it first came about, it was like, okay, anybody with a mouse and a computer and an internet connection,
yeah,
boom, I'm hanging my shingle as a virtual assistant.
Could be, sure.
Right.
I think you're really good at strategy, keeping things organized for the person. That would be me. keeping me on task on what to do and doing back end stuff that my brain wants to blow up if I have to learn one more application.
Right.
You're really good at adapting new technologies for that specific business. You also started out working for Road Warriors and doing event planning and a lot of speakers, service-based people.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So folks are clear, what's the difference then between an assistant, sort of like a virtual assistant, if you will, versus like
a badass
assistant, right? I mean, like, when people think of like VAs, right? They think I'm going to go out, I'm going to find somebody who works for like $3 an hour in the Philippines, and I'm going to get all my stuff done, and like this is going to be the best thing since God knows what. And that's an option that some people choose, but more often than not, they end up disappointed and they end up leaving those folks for a number of different reasons. So, what is there like a different category of a, like, how would you define your role as an assistant versus some of what people think of VAs? They think of those, again, the maybe the people in the Philippines and so on. So what's the
VA industry loved Tim Ferriss and the 4-Hour Work Week.
Right, I'm sure.
That really made a shift in our industry.
Yeah.
Because the whole premise behind it was, you know, was way back in when Thomas Leonard was going out on the road and stuff, and he had an assistant that handled things back home for him. And he's like, you know, well, I've got a virtual assistant. And so it's really kind of managing people's lives from afar while they're out doing what they need to do and doing their businesses. So the whole premise of it was that. And it wasn't just let's go find cheap labor and everybody calls himself a virtual assistant, or we've got this VA farm over here that has 15 virtual assistants that they're subbing out and all that. So it really did kind of put a damper on a lot of things and shifted things for us. Because, you know, when to me and to a lot of the veteran VAs, when, you know, and we work and do what we do for a rate or a package price or retainer, whatever you want to call it. Mm-hmm. And those services are, you know, you're renting my time. Mm-hmm. And whether, regardless of how you're paying for it, you're renting my time.
Sure.
And whether you use that time or not in a month, say, if we're on a retainer, that's not my fault. You go out and rent a car. If you park it in the driveway the whole time you rented it, it's still going to cost you the same amount of money because it's there for you if you want to use it.
And if you go over the amount of mileage that you're allotted,
bam,
which is consistently my problem because I don't just park the car. I drive that damn thing to death until the tires fall off of it and the car is like, I quit. I don't care who is driving me. Yeah. I'm done with this person behind the wheel. Yeah. Is that too deep of an analogy there?
No. Well, I mean, in some ways, though, it leads, even though you were kind of joking there, but I get it. So it sounds like you really have to really think out your client, too, because, I mean, their expectations, because, I mean, the reality is there's disruption everywhere. I'm not trying to make light of yours, but, you know, when cameras came out, I saw photographers get their careers crushed when these kids, pixels in like the early 2000s were coming out for so cheap. And, oh, because there, someone's nephew could come in and take just as good a shot. But you know the nuances of that photo weren't the same. And so, long story short, to get to the question is, how much time do you have to say, how many times do you have to say no? It would seem like word of mouth would be almost the combination of you doing so many things and having to get the right client. It seems like word of mouth is the only real way for you to get business.
Yeah,
and not the only, but the main.
Right. And, you know, I've been doing it for over 17 years, and it's I've been in and around the whole, you know, marketing, direct marketing, cold calling and referrals and all that. I actually work with a referral company who I've gotten some of my best clients from that is out in San Francisco. And she finds the clients that get it, you know, in working with it. There's people look at it like, you know, the virtual assistants, and it depends on who you ask and how they were introduced to the industry as to how they understand it.
Yeah.
And that's
and
a
there's
big thing.
Times like I would take when I do photos, for instance, for an e-commerce company, I'll go shoot them, but I'm not going to send them to you. That would be a waste of your time and your effort and energy. But there's still arbitrage in other spots. Like you're utilized for a more high end person. I would send this to India for, you know, 10 cents per photo. There's no way you're going to do it for 10 cents per photo. But in that scenario, for that piece, it fits. I would never replace all my business with that person, though. You know what I mean? Like bits and, you know, it depends on
what
you're trying
to accomplish. Fiverr comes into play for certain things.
And for certain things, you know, that make sense.
Exactly.
It does, but so, that's also in, you know, like, we've had situations before where, you know, it does make sense to go out and get somebody
else.
You're
talking to me or Mary?
Well, I make sense.
Yeah.
None of us do in this room.
just want to make sure.
We should have her go record from the other room so we can stay consistent.
Yes. Yeah, right. So
is one thing that it's, you know, and back when the industry was kind of fledgling in, you know, late 90s, early 2000, it was different than being with a temp agency. Because you had somebody that, you know, we get behind you and get with you and learn your business and everything about you so that we can really be proactive and help you build and grow as a partner. That's the way I have always that's my whole business philosophy mm-hmm. and what I built my reputation on. Mm-hmm. Not everybody's the same. Not all VAs are created equal. Mm-hmm. And you've got the ones that they just want to go out and find every Tom, Dick, and Harry that they can to have a project with and have a client list of hundreds. And mine has always been by design. I have a handful of clients that I can work with personally because I like to have – I'm a control freak.
Yeah, she's a total control freak.
Yeah, which is what you want in someone who's supposed to be handling your shit. I mean, that's what you want. But
let me
ask you this, because we got about a minute before we got to go to break here. How does someone know when they are ready to bring on an assistant or a virtual assistant in this case?
Well, specifically an assistant like her, because I think what we're saying is maybe that person isn't ready and they're good for the fivers early on until mm-hmm. they get to like your level or Mary's level or my level. Like, mm-hmm. I'm helping frame your question. Is that what you're saying? Like,
now we have to answer it in the next segment.
Right.
Yeah. But
so we've just created an awesome teaser for the next segment.
We have a caller,
segment.
Too.
Yeah. And we think about it.
We got to get Susan on.
And we'll have to get Susan on. Thanks for calling
so
in.
So another 8hours.com. The number 8 hours.
That's my company. So and then if you want to learn how to be a VA, you go to vatheseries.com.
Because she wrote the book on it.
That's the right. Bible.
The Bible of the VA industry.
We may even hear a commercial for the Bible of the VA industry here. No, it's very cool having you here. And there's so much ground to cover about reinventing this whole world of having a badass assistant and whether it's time for you to have a VA or more of a full-time assistant or a high-caliber somebody like Kelly. That's all what we're covering here on today's episode of Reinvention Radio. More right after this.
You were born to do one amazing thing, but most people spend a lifetime trying to identify what it is. If you're at a job you don't like or are unemployed, if you're in a state of transition or just can't shake that nagging feeling that you were meant and made to do something extraordinary, the Reinvention Workshop is exactly what you need. Led by award-winning self-help author Steve Ulscher, the Reinvention Workshop will forever change your life. The Reinvention Workshop takes you step by step through Steve's proven formula that has helped so many get on the right path and be clear about what they were born to do. Take the first step for realizing the life you deserve and desire by visiting TheReinventionWorkshop.com today. No more delays, no more denial. Reconnect with your true self. Learn to live with purpose and conviction and become who you were born to be. The world is waiting for you. What are you waiting for? Log on to TheReinventionWorkshop.com. That's TheReinventionWorkshop.com.
And now, back to Reinvention Radio. Here's your host, Steve Ulscher.
Alrighty, welcome back to Reinvention Radio. Steve Ulscher hanging out with the lovely Mary Goulet.
Hello.
Mary Goulet, Richie O.J. What's up, baby?
Hello, hello.
We're waiting on it down the studio, and we're joined in studio by our very own Kelly Polker, the producer extraordinaire of Reinvention Radio, both Mary and my assistant extraordinaire, and been with Mary for almost 14 years, and me with, I don't know, three years, something like that. And so before the break, and we want to bring Susan on as well, because I think she's got a really interesting perspective on this whole world of assistance and show on, so we will bring her on as well. But Richie, why don't we just kind of go back to the question that we were posing before the break, and I think you were reframing it well, so you want to just continue down that path?
Yeah, I was really asking Kelly, is there a time? Is there a tier system, or is there some sort of time when someone knows they're ready? I was kind of trying to merge your question in mine, mm-hmm. where is there a ladder where someone comes in and you're just getting started? Should you start with Fiverr and then you get the $2 to $3 and $10 guy? And as you grow, do you grow with your assistant, or do you bite the bullet, get the assistant early? Like, how do you see that mm-hmm. process? Mm-hmm.
I see it as if you bite the bullet early, then you're more inclined to grow your business faster. Because what we do is a lot of the stuff that you shouldn't be doing, don't want to be doing. You know, people go into business because they're really good at this, or they're really good at selling widgets, and they don't know anything about accounting and bookkeeping and marketing and online marketing, internet, anything. They don't know anything about that. And that's not where their specialty should be. Mm-hmm. And they don't have to learn at all just because they put on small business owner hat.
Yeah.
Well, so that's when you reach out to a VA, and the virtual assistants in my realm and concept of it are very well generalized across the board and some mm-hmm. specialized then more in the high tech or the accounting side or whatever. Mm-hmm. But 99% of what we do can be done across the board in one person.
Yeah. So or you guys kind of team
if I
up?
Know, I know. Oh, yeah, absolutely. We collaborate VAs? A lot. Just like, you know, me and Susan. It would drive me insane to try to keep up on a lot of the web technology and the latest that's going on. So yeah, I leave
Wade,
that
bring
to
in,
her.
Bring in Susan. Bring in Susan so we can get her on the line as well and get her take on that. And Wade, just give me the hand signal when we get her on so we know that she is ready as well. But I do think that that is definitely something that I want to talk about in terms of specializations and so on. And actually, am I hearing Susan now? Yeah. There's that you clearing your throat. Are you ready for your cameo? Are we good? Yes,
I am here now.
You hear me?
Yeah. Hey, how are you, Susan? Welcome.
I'm fine, thanks.
Good. So you've actually been a virtual assistant then, or would you consider yourself to be an exec? Is it a virtual assistant? Is it an executive virtual assistant? Like, how would you define what you are?
I considered myself a virtual office manager.
I had an
executive level of skills, and it's very broad. And I've actually been working virtually since before the internet. Mm-hmm. So since 87.
Mm-hmm.
But in the late 90s, I decided to go full time through the internet, and then I met Kelly. So we've actually been working together mm-hmm. almost 18 years.
And so when does someone know that it's time to hire someone like you? Like, to Rich's point, should someone hire someone like you or Kelly? I mean, out of the gate, or how do you know? Like, I'm sure you have to tell people no, like it's just not a good fit or you're not ready or something of that nature. So in what instances do you tell someone no, that it's not a good fit?
You don't have any
money. Particularly people that are very, very nitpicky, people that are looking for a real budget, a budget deal. They mm-hmm. consistently ask, you know, for lower rates, that kind of thing. I'm actually of similar opinion that she is that a business person that's well organized will start early, knowing what their role is in their company and allowing someone else to do the stuff that isn't mm-hmm. beneficial for them to be doing.
So let's cut to it then, because there are people who are wondering, okay, if you want to hire somebody who's really, really qualified, I mean, somebody who's good and you know that you can count on them. I mean, obviously, Mary, you've been with Kelly for 13, 14 years now.
Susan's worked on some of my projects as well.
Right, and Susan's worked on some
of your... Hi, Susan.
Hey, Susan. And I know Susan's worked on some of my stuff as well. But you guys, I mean, if we're talking sort of these tiers, I think, Richie, is the term you used. I mean, you guys, would you be at the higher end of the spectrum? And what would someone expect to pay someone like you? And then what are the other tiers? And what would someone expect to pay is someone who is on a lower end of the spectrum, if you will? I'm not exactly sure how to term it, but I'm just trying to get folks familiar with what their options are and what they could expect to have to invest.
I think that the newer VAs often severely underestimate what they're worth. I think that's a really big, almost a tragedy, because they're so anxious to get clients that they'll accept anything. I think that highly skilled VAs should be in the vicinity of at least $65, $75 an hour.
Okay.
So...
And go ahead.
Okay, so the reason I got involved with Kelly way back is because in the speaking world... you'd name anyone, Mark LeBlanc, Karen Buxman, Mike Pierce, they all have assistants. I almost think you guys should change your title.
I've shied away from using the VA title.
Yeah,
and
because,
it's more business support services. And that's kind of goes back to what I was saying before, is that we're getting mixed into this whole other
outsource
group of people that is not what we are at all.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I think calls for a new, like, Steve is saying, are you an executive? And even Susan mentioned, I have executive level skill sets. Mm-hmm. So you guys have to rebrand.
How about from the client's perspective, how do they know? I mean, other than you guys, if you run into someone and you can educate them, like, how would the average person that's listening right now know how to discern between a highly qualified VA that is someone like yourself and Kelly, or, you know, not just an accent because they got a Philippine accent or something, right?
Just call us and we'll tell them.
Yeah, dang. Yeah. Good time for your website name, right?
Yeah.
But you know what I mean? Like, how does someone know? Like, what are some good questions for them to ask? What are some things that, mm-hmm. Because they don't know necessarily enough to know even what to ask.
What if they phrase it like, are you ready to have a partner in your business?
No, I'm saying the client.
That's what I'm asking them. Asking the client, are you ready to have a partner?
And that doesn't always work because people get scared. They're like, you know, no, I don't want a partner.
Yeah, they think
like that
they think partner, and, partner, like you're getting a percentage of the business or something.
So you could almost turn it with Rich. You help people in specific ways, in many specific ways. So you're doing tasks that some people can't do.
Oh, yeah.
So how would you title it?
Yeah, I 110% understand what these ladies are going through. And it's why I reorganized my whole system in general and what I'm doing, because...
Well, it's more like strategic consulting.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not... So I think to some extent, I mean, let's be honest, like Kelly, you'll handle some emails for me, right? I mean, like Rich, you're building e-commerce sites and marketing platforms and crowdsource, you know, like very specialized. And I think that's part of what the question then is too. Mm-hmm. And Susan, let me start with you then on that, just and then we'll go to Kelly. But do you hire an assistant based on specific talents? In other words, should you have more than one? Like, should we have one for e-commerce? Should we have one for email and phone calls, and have one for et cetera, et cetera? What's your take on that, Susan? And what's your take on that, Kelly?
I think that that's an individual preference. I think that I think it's pretty rare to find a virtual professional that has such a broad skill set that would include deep, in-depth web development and that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. What I think it's definitely worth having different assistants for highly skilled areas like that. Mm-hmm. I think that you can have one that covers pretty much your entire administrative needs, including everything from event planning to just your regular everyday administrative needs. And a lot of that is still highly skilled, but it's a lot different than programming, for example.
Yeah.
So you're going to want to look for that. But I think that the average highly skilled VA should have a very, very broad skill set.
Okay. Kelly, what do you think?
Yeah, I would tend to agree with that. And then, I mean, there are VAs that specialize in certain industries. Like there's other virtual assistants out there that – their whole skill set and service offering is totally based on authors and what they do and publishing and marketing virtual book tours and all of that.
It just shows the importance of collaboration with you guys too in any network, because you're going to have the generalized, like you have your main, correct me if I'm wrong here, I'm just kind of rehashing this. You have your main VA or office administrator, whatever terminology that best suits it, that's kind of administrative, knows what's going on in your life, can handle emails because they kind of know you too, for the most part, can handle probably most of them. And then when you have that collaboration, you can now pull in those specific people. And because of that collaboration, you don't have to train them every time with every new client, because they're already specialized in that thing. They know your SOPs. They know how you work. They know how you need things delivered. So I could see, just like any disruptive network, the pioneers need to work together too to help put standards in place.
I think you actually made a good point there in the middle, in that if you hire a highly skilled person.
Yeah, I know. It's very rare that he makes a good point. And it's only in the middle if he does.
Well, based upon the things that are highly skilled, and I totally lost my train of thought there. Okay, give me a minute.
We have to go to a break. So, Susan, what is your website so we can send people there? And then when we come back from the break, we'll catch up on that brilliant moment that Richard had.
Right now, my primary website is eliteofficesupport.com.
Okay, awesome. And Kelly, the best place for folks to get a hold of you is Another8Hours.
Another8Hours.com, but please don't take my condition of my site as an indicator as to what I am.
You're just busy, you're working, you're
like
helping, you're crushing
the kids
or whatever.
Yeah, exactly.
All right, well, we're talking reinventing badass assistants here on Reinvention Radio, and more with Kelly Polker and Susan right after this.
Looking to be a successful entrepreneur? The virtual assistant industry continues to be a top choice for those looking to start their own business. The problem can be how to become a virtual assistant. Many turn to the Bible of the VA industry, the book, Virtual Assistant, the series, and it's the perfect guide for office managers, executive assistants, and other administrative professionals looking to make the transition from employee to successful business owner. Go to vatheseries.com to get your copy today.
And now, back to Reinvention Radio. Here's your host, Steve Ulscher.
All righty, welcome back to Reinvention Radio. We've got the chair, which is clearly a part of the entertainment here on the show. That you and that chair, Richie, have a very special relationship.
As soon as I lean back,
the whole chair goes down to the floor. It's pretty funny.
Yeah, we need to see what the next one is.
Yeah, what's the next one on the back?
You create your reality.
Wow. Okay, so Richie, you created that chair to fall to the floor. Every
I told
time you,
you
lean
that
back
already last week. Take responsibility for everything.
For everything. all right, Mary Goulet hanging out with us. Kelly Bulger, White Way Allen down the studio. Got Susan on the line, and then actually we got Diane who's going to join us for a brief second as well. But we're going to quickly run out of time here, as we always do in this last segment.
I want to know
segment.
The moment.
So go ahead, Kelly. Did you want Kelly or did
Susan?
Mary
Susan.
Or Susan? Yeah, okay, go ahead, Susan.
Rich's moment.
The middle comment.
That moment, yes. Exactly, the Richie moment in the middle.
I did remember my train of thought.
Okay, good.
You had mentioned training, and that was really something interesting that I've been talking to people about lately, because I've seen a lot of articles and mention of making sure you train your VA the way you want them trained. In all the years I've been in business, never once have I had to be trained by anyone. To me, that's like an employer-employee type of relationship.
Mm-hmm.
And the value of having a VA is that you don't need to train them. That's part of the expense. And
good. Well, I'm glad for clarification. I'll be super quick on. I meant more like you work with other VAs that are specialized so you don't have to train them.
Right.
And you want to work and collaborate with other people that are specialized so you can have your generalized knowledge and you bring in your specialized friends that are doing the same thing so you know the standard operating procedures and everything already. Mm-hmm. They just learn the way you work, not necessarily trying to get you. We're on the same page. You clarify.
I have a stable of people based on specialties that I can draw on that have already signed confidentiality agreements and that kind of stuff with me.
Yeah.
And those are the ones that I pull from.
All right. So let's do this. We're going to let you go, Susan. Thanks again for hanging out here. Wait, I think we got Diane.
Bye, Susan.
Bye, Susan.
Yeah, we got Diane coming on as well.
Diana.
Okay. Hey, Diana, how are you? What's going on?
I'm doing great.
Good. Hi, Diana.
Good. Great show already.
Yay. Good. All right. So you are a virtual assistant, an executive assistant, a virtual office manager. What's your part in all of this fun stuff? How would you describe yourself?
All of the above. Yeah. I'm a virtual assistant, and I specialize in PR and marketing. That's kind of like my specialty.
Gotcha. Okay. And so someone would hire you to get appearances, to market their products, programs, and services, that sort of thing?
Yes. Get media mentioned. They want to get in the media somewhere. They'd say, hey, I need you. Mm-hmm. That's what we do. So.
Okay. And so you wouldn't answer emails or phone calls or that sort of thing. You are what would be known then more as a specialty assistant?
Correct.
Is that? Okay. So, Kelly, so what's your take on that then? I mean, in terms of, do you need, as you're looking at this equation of hiring an assistant, is it then a matter of really understanding what's most important to you and what's needed at that moment? Or how do you even go about this, Kelly? What's your take on that? Like, how do you figure out what's most important?
I think you have a consulting call, you know, an initial discovery call or whatever you want to term it, with a VA, anyone.
Mm-hmm.
And that VA should kind of lead you through a qualification for them and where they're at to see. Because not everything is a good fit.
Right,
on both
and it's
sides.
A nightmare when it's not a good fit.
Because a lot of people don't know what they actually need. Like, there's just so much going on with their business that they're so scattered, they're so all over the place. They don't even know where to begin in terms of where do I start.
Well, plus,
you know, there was an
scary
exercise.
You're handing over the keys to your kingdom, kind of. Like, here's all my passwords. Here's my credit
card. I know
more
about her world than she does.
Yeah, because you got time to pay attention to it.
True.
Yeah.
So there used to be an exercise that we used to suggest to people, and I still do this on occasion. For 2 weeks, everywhere you go, whatever you do, you keep a pad of paper and a pen right beside you or do it on your phone.
Do it like a log?
You keep track of all the things that you're doing. And right. those things that you don't want to be doing, mm-hmm. you don't like to do, mm-hmm. and where, you know, where you're spending your time, mm-hmm. what's sucking your time away that's mm-hmm. keeping you from over here. So identifying that, and that's very eye-opening for people.
Mm-hmm. And it'll start, people will start to be able to get a better understanding then of where my time is actually being spent. And of that time,
what
where
can I
am I oh, actually it's, not
it's huge on many
efforts.
Levels, yeah. Kelly. Mm-hmm. That's not just business. That's self-awareness 101 oh, yeah. Yeah. right there. Yeah. Like and the number column. One thing of all the categories for people losing weight, the number one that works is a food journal.
Yeah.
Because you know what's going on.
Right.
Well, I'm just saying, like, you'll know eventually. Like,
so that's the journal we're going to create.
Haagen-Dazs down in here. Jesus, right? I'm going to just stop writing.
That's what we'll do, right? So journals are so popular right now. So that's what we'll do. We'll do one that combines, like, where all your money goes, your food stuff, and where all of your time goes on your business. So that's, like, the killer journal.
To sure, there's an app for all
right?
of those.
There's probably an app for all that. Mm-hmm. All right. So, Diana, let me ask you this. So if somebody wants to hire you for specifically marketing and PR-related activities, how does it work with you? Like, what could they expect to pay you? What would be a typical structure? What does something like that
and
look like?
And time period.
And time period.
Yeah. I usually work on a retainer basis mainly. And so they retain me or blocks of time, whichever they prefer. Mm-hmm. And it's usually, you know, because I'm specially, I'm a more higher end, so it's going to be, you know, 75, 85 an hour. But then they decide it's 12 hours, they want to go 20 hours, and then I let them know within that time frame what can be done. Mm-hmm. So if we're going to be sending a pitch out, we're going to create databases, we're going to be, you know, so whatever they need done, I let them know that that can be done in that time frame and, mm-hmm. you know, what else we can do in that time frame.
Yep.
So, and one of the things, too, is real important is their expectations because, you know, you can, we're not going to get you on 25,000 shows for this, but we can do this, you know, and that's,
yeah.
what, well, that's what's really good is then they understand and I understand, so it's a win-win.
Yeah.
That's why contracts are important.
Yeah, well, let's right. do this, Diana. So if people want more information about you, let me just give you a quick plug here, and then we're going to have to wrap up and go back to Kelly here. But where do people find out more information about you and your virtual, well, I don't want to call you a VA anymore. I don't know what to call you, but your assistant services.
I still like to be a VA.
All right.
So Virtual Word Publishing.
VirtualWordPublishing.com? Okay.
Yeah.
Right. All right, very cool. All right, Diana, thanks for joining us.
Thanks, Diana.
Yay. All right, so, Kelly, let's talk about contracts. Let's talk about expectations, that sort of thing. What is your take? Do you need a contract with a VA?
Yes.
You do?
Because that sets the stage for just like anything else you do a contract with. Mm-hmm. Everybody knows on both sides what the expectations are and what your commitment, what your deliverables and commitments are to each other.
Mm-hmm.
And it takes the question out of a lot of these gray areas that you enter into.
And is there like a test period, like a trial period that you should run with a VA if you're going to bring somebody on?
I've always taught and practiced that I don't sign anybody on for under a minimum of 3 months.
Mm-hmm.
And during those 3 months, we kind of, you know, we have a growing process and getting to know you. Kind of, I mean, there's a lot of time up front sometimes, depending on where they're at in getting to know how to work with each other and what you're going to do,
mm-hmm.
and how long that's going to take. So I look at the 3 months and going into that third month, then we kind of reassess, okay, where are we at on hours and are mm-hmm. we in the right spot? And then we can readdress it, adjust accordingly going forward. And then I do annual contracts after that.
Yeah. And some of your clients don't sign them. Yes, Richie.
I was just going to say, do you have more info on that? Was it the series, VA the series, or what was it
called? Yeah, actually, Diana and I are co-authors of the VA Industry Bible, which is Virtual Assistant the Series, How to Become a Highly Successful, Sought-After VA. I haven't even said that in a long time.
Uh-huh.
And that's at vatheseries.com, so where they can learn different, get the book. There's a workbook that goes with it. That actually is used in colleges across the country, several of them.
Yeah, it's
here
very
in California.
Cool.
Nice.
That was a bonus we never, ever expected. Mm-hmm.
So someone can learn how to be
it's on the curriculum,
a VA or be an assistant, that sort of thing, a virtual mm-hmm. assistant, through VATheSeries.com.
VATheSeries.com. Okay. And then I also have a training program that's mm-hmm. kind of a 16-week program, self-paced, so you can work with me And that's at academyvp.com.
Academyvp.com. All right, sweet.
Of virtual professionals.
So lots going on there, lots of choices, lots of options. And,
cool.
Of course, if you want more information about Kelly, don't judge her by her website, but another 8 hours, the number 8hours.com is a place to go on that. It's so awesome having
eight.
You here with the number 8. Yeah. Awesome. So the Reinvention Radio producer extraordinaire, assistant extraordinaire, and badass.
A suck it sandwich.
You are a badass. Yeah. All right, guys.
We'll
talk to you next time.
You just got dismantled. Thanks for listening to Reinvention Radio. For more information about the show and your host, Steve Olscher, visit reinventionradio.com.